So let's do this. Let's begin with a word of prayer this morning and ask for God to do what only God can do. How many people know God softens hearts? God softens our hearts. So let's pray right now. Father, we thank you for this moment. We thank you that we can be gathered here this morning. And Father, I just pray right now that you would just soften our hearts. I think of that parable that's in several of the Gospels where Jesus said, a sower went out to sow the seed. And he sowed the seed, and it said it fell on different types of soil. And all those soils represent the condition of our hearts. So, Lord, I pray that as that seed is being sown this morning, that our hearts would be what Jesus labeled good soil. Because it's when that seed fell upon the good soil that it produced a crop 40, 60, 100-fold. So, Lord, I pray that we would have soft hearts, that we would have open minds, and Lord, that you would be with us in these moments. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, oh, that's so good. Everybody said, oh, it's good to hear you guys say amen. Okay, here's what we're going to do this morning is we're going to pick up where we left off 2 weeks ago, and that is with our study of what we're calling the Beatitudes. We started that 2 weeks ago, and the Beatitudes are found, just in case you're wondering, they're found in the Gospel of Matthew, right there in chapter 5, the first 10 verses. And Heather is going to come in just a minute, and she's going to read that text again for us. But I want to let you know that the Beatitudes make up a small part of a bigger sermon, and that sermon is known as the Sermon on the Mount. How many people have heard of the Sermon on the Mount before? The Sermon on the Mount is covered for us in three chapters, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And we need to remember that the Sermon on the Mount is all about Jesus sharing with his followers, Jesus sharing with people in the kingdom what life in the kingdom looks like. Okay, that's what Jesus is doing. He's saying, hey, if you have made a decision to follow me, this is what your life will look like now, okay? And what we're going to discover in this journey is we're going to discover as a Jesus follower, our lives are often going to look much different than those people in the world. And we need to be okay with that. That's the way it's supposed to. Not in the sense that we want to be offensive, but in the sense we want to be different. We want to be powerful. We want to lift up the name of Jesus, okay? So usually there's going to be a difference between the life that Jesus calls us to in the life of the world. I think there's a difference between night and day, cold and hot, bitter and sweet. I mean, if we say yes to Jesus, our lives will look different. And I want to let you know, in the kingdom, that's very, very normal. Very, very normal. So what I want you to do right now, if you would stand to your feet with me, I'm going to have Heather come, and she's going to read the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 10.
To the mountains and sat down. His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who are hungry and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs.
Thank you so much, Heather. You may be seated. So what we see in that reading, folks, is we see that there are what I'm going to call eight different snapshots. Can I call them snapshots? Eight different snapshots of what life in the kingdom looks like, okay? What life in the kingdom looks like. And each one of these snapshots begins with these two words. Jesus says, God blesses. Most translations say what? They say blessed. But in the New Living Translation, which I often read out of it, Jesus uses these words, God blesses. Okay? Eight snapshots, God blesses. And then what he goes on to do is he shares with us, who are the people? What are the behaviors in our life that God blesses? Because there are certain behaviors that we can't really expect God's blessing. But in this, he's showing us eight behaviors that God blesses. And each one begins with this key word, blessing. Okay, blessing or blessed. So we need to have a better understanding of what that word means, because that word is super, super important. You need to understand what this word means, okay? And I want to let you know that word blessed or God blesses means much more than happiness. It's so much bigger than that. To limit it to happiness would be to rip off this word, okay? So it means much more than happiness. But that word blessed really means this. It means fullness. Fullness, meaning your heart, your life, if you carry out these behaviors, you're going to see that your life is full. Your heart is full. And then there's three things that your life is going to be full of. Your life is going to be full of hope. By the way, how many people want a life full of hope? Your life is going to be filled with joy, and your life is going to be filled with peace. So the blessed person is the person who walks around through life with this fullness of hope, joy, and peace, okay? And here's the really, really cool thing, guys, and that is that this blessed life is independent of your outward circumstances. I want to let you know that you're not only blessed when you're holding the winning lottery ticket, okay? You would say, yeah, absolutely. How many people want that blessing, by the way? You're holding the winning lottery ticket, but it's much bigger than that, and that is that Jesus is saying you can be full of hope, you can be filled with joy, and you can be filled with peace even in the midst of a pandemic. Is everybody hearing me? Even in the midst of a pandemic, even in the midst of a season of uncertainty, I want to let you know that we as followers of Jesus Christ, we can live different than people in the world because we have the blessing of God on our life, that even when everybody else is worrying and fearful, the child of God can walk around with the blessing of God. They can be people full of hope, full of joy, and full of peace. And by the way, what kind of message do you think that's going to send to the people in your workplace? When they're freaking out and they're worried and you're walking around full of hope, you're walking around full of joy and peace, that's going to send a powerful, powerful message, because this blessing is not contingent upon circumstances. It's not contingent upon, hey, I'm working a dead-end job and I don't even like this job and I'm working too many hours. Right now I'm broken. My life is broken. It's a mess. I want to let you know, folks, that as a Christ follower, that whatever you're going through, you can experience the blessing of God, the hope, the joy, the peace, the fullness of God in your life. And I just think there's a lot of people who need to hear that this morning, okay? So first of all, who is it that God blesses? Who are the people that God blesses? What we did 2 weeks ago, we looked at the first four Beatitudes, okay? And what we discovered in those first four Beatitudes is this. We discovered that the first four dealt with our vertical relationship. Our vertical relationship with God, okay? And we looked at four different things that God blesses when it comes to our relationship with him. And if we were to boil it down to one word, what was the word? Does anybody remember? Who was here 2 weeks ago? If we boil it down to one word, Heather actually said it this morning, God blesses people who are desperate. If you take those first four Beatitudes, you take it down to one word, God blesses desperate people, people that are desperate for him, meaning I'm more desperate for God than I am any other thing in my life. I'm desperate for God, and those are the people that God blesses. Now what we're going to do is there's going to be a shift, and we're going to shift from the vertical, and now we're going to shift to the horizontal. That means we're going to shift to relationships with one another, okay? And here's what I want us to see right off the bat this morning. And if you don't get anything else this morning, I want you to get this. Make sure that you lock it in your head, you lock it in your heart. And that is that in God's kingdom, there's a high priority on healthy relationships, okay? And here's what I want us to do. Can we read this together? In God's kingdom, there's a high priority on healthy relationships. I want to let you know, I heard a speaker years ago, and he said this one word, this one sentence that transformed my life. He said, in the kingdom, it's all about right relationships. Because I think we all understand you can have everything going great outside of relationships, but if there's broken relationships in your life, man, it really weighs heavy in our lives. And I want to let you know that as we serve in the kingdom of God, God wants you to be a person. God wants me to be a person. God wants us to be people that we know how to go about having healthy relationships, meaning we don't throw away broken relationships in the kingdom, but we are people that are in pursuit of making sure our relationships are healthy. And we're going to begin that journey of healthy relationships as we go to the next verse, verse 7, and look at what Jesus says when it comes to relationship. His first thought is this, and that is, it says, God blesses those who are merciful. I want to say that one more time. Who is it that God blesses? God blesses people who are merciful. So I think that word merciful we need to deal with this morning, and we're going to deal with it here for the next few minutes. What does it mean to be merciful? Does it mean that we exercise sympathy? Does it mean that we exercise empathy to people who are in need? Most certainly, it includes being sympathetic. Most certainly, it includes us expressing empathy to people in need. But we need to drill much deeper than just sympathy and empathy, because there's something that's so much more here that we need to see, okay? So what I did this week is I went into my studies and I came across a source, and his name is Matthew Henry. He's a Bible scholar from like the 16th century. And he wrote on this verse, and I love what he said about this verse, about being merciful. And I want you to listen in, because this is so important. Matthew Henry says that mercy, is everybody listening? Mercy is the ability to get right inside the other person's skin. I know we talked about this about a month ago, but mercy is this ability that we have to get right inside of someone else's skin, to the point that we begin to see what they see, that we begin to see things from their perspective. That's mercy. Mercy is when we put on other people's skin, and now not only do we see what they see, is we even begin to feel what they're feeling. So we're going to get into that other person's skin that's hurting, somebody close in our life. We're going to be able to jump into their skin. We're going to see what they see. We're going to feel what they feel. And we're not always going to try to give them the answers. We're going to just sit there and just invest in that person, okay? And this is precisely what many people, that we don't even try to do, okay? Because most people are so concerned with their own feelings, their own life, what's going on in their world, that they don't have time to be concerned about other people. But that's not the way it looks in the kingdom of God. Not only are we to be concerned about our feelings, which is natural, but we're to go to that supernatural step now, and we're supposed to begin to feel what other people feel. Get engaged with other people's life. Because I want you to imagine with me the difference. Just think of the difference that it would make if we had the ability to slow down, to stop, to invest, and we had the ability to get into that person's skin, and we would begin to identify with them, identify with what they're going through. I want to let you know it would make a huge difference if we would say, you know what, I'm going to listen. I'm going to try to understand. I'm going to try to see things the way you're seeing things. I'm going to try to feel what you feel. That's mercy. And that's what Jesus is calling us to. And if we would be people who express mercy to others, I want to let you know that things like forgiveness, things like kindness, things like tolerance, those things would become a lot easier if we would begin to stop, get into their skin, see what they see, feel what they feel. We would be much quicker to practice forgiveness, kindness, and tolerance. Because I think there's one principle in life that we often forget. I want to say that one more time. There's a principle in life that we often forget, and that is that there's always a reason. There's always a reason why a person acts the way they act. True or false? There's always a reason why a person acts the way they act, why they think the way they think, or why they feel the way they feel. And I want to let you know, if we took the time to invest and be merciful, if we knew that reason, then I think it would be a lot easier if we would come along and instead of judging them and being harsh, but if we would come along, it would be easier for us to understand. It would be easier for us to be more sympathetic, show more apathy and forgive. For example, let me throw out a couple examples. How about the person who's always sarcastic? They're always sarcastic. Why is that? How about the person who's always angry? Don't raise your hand, but do you know the angry guy or the angry girl? They're just always angry. For some reason, that's just their MO. They're angry. How about the person who's always negative, okay? They just seem to be negative. I know I see some elbows being shoved into people's sides right now. I saw that. Lord, heal that relationship. Anyway, negative. There just seems that's their fallback. They just seem to be negative. How about the person who's always defensive? Have you run into that person before? They're always, you approach them, you have something you want to talk about, automatically their fallback is they want to be defensive. How about the person that's always controlling? They always want to control everything. How about those people? If we would take the time to get into their skin, what would happen if we would begin to see from their perspective? What is it that we could learn? Could it be that it's the result of the home they grew up in? Could it be the result that they act the way they act because in psychology they call it what? Learned behavior. They've learned this behavior from those who were closest to them while they were still wet cement as kids. That was the impression. And they began to solidify, and that's now their behavior. Or maybe if a person treats us poorly, could it be because their thought or something in their mind is way off to who we really are? And I've been on both sides of that before. Way off, thinking this person was thinking this about me or me about them. And my thought when I discovered I was worlds apart. Could it be because we're not willing to take the time? And I want to suggest that we start this process not with strangers, but we start this process with those who are closest to us. Those who are closest to us. Because there's this beautiful French proverb. Look at the French proverb. It says, to know all is to forgive all. What's that mean? That means when we begin to sit down and we begin to get into their skin and we begin to ask questions, we more than ask questions when we listen. By the way, how many people in this room are poor listeners? That's me. I'm a poor listener. But when we take the time to listen and we begin to hear their story, and I begin to know more and more details, it's going to be easier for me to forgive that person. But here's the deal. We never know all until we make this deliberate attempt that we're going to get inside of that person, that we're going to listen. We're not going to try to fix the person. Okay, does anybody know what I'm saying? I know there's people in my life when I talk to them, they say, Michael, I don't want you to fix me. I just want you to listen to me. You know what I'm talking about? And we don't need to try to fix, but what if we made the deliberate attempt to just get there and begin to try to see life from where they're living their life, see what they're seeing, feel what they're feeling? What kind of difference would that make? And I think it would make all the difference in the world. And instead of breaking relationships and canceling, because we live in a cancel culture, and canceling relationships, I think that we could begin to live kingdom lives and turn those broken relationships back into healthy relationships. Healthy relationships, amen? So I want to give you a warning right off the bat. In order to be this way, it's going to take a lot of work. It's not easy. It's not natural, I don't think. I think it's supernatural, where you're going to take the time to really get in and let that person speak. That's what you call being merciful, which leads me to two questions. And the first question is why? Why should we put forth the effort to be merciful to other people? Why would I do that? It's exhausting. It's mentally exhausting. It wears me out to do this. Why would I do it? I'm going to share with you just two reasons why we need to be merciful. The first reason is, and I want everyone to hear this morning, the first reason why we need to be merciful, because how many people know God is merciful towards us? Amen? God is rich. It says in Scripture that God is rich. He is abundant in mercy towards each one of us. So God is rich in mercy. Okay? Think about it. It was in Jesus that God left heaven. Think about that. It says in Scripture that Jesus was always with God from the beginning. But we know that Jesus, in God, left heaven. He came to earth. And listen to this. He became a human being. God became human. He became flesh, according to John 1:11. And what I want to say is he got into our skin. He got into our life. He got into where we live. Why? So that he could begin to see things the way we see things and feel what we feel and to help us in our time of brokenness. I think the writer of Hebrews really nailed it. In Hebrews chapter 2, he says this, therefore it was necessary for him. Who's him? He's talking about the supremacy of Jesus. It was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us. Wow. Think of that. God became like us. Why? So that he could be our what? Merciful and faithful high priest before God. Then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. Verse 18, since he himself has gone through suffering, through testing, he is now able to help us when we are being tested. I love that verse. And I love this because it shows us that God came to us. God initiated. He stepped out of heaven. He put on our skin. He became flesh. He became human. He went through all the things that we went through. He went through testing, trials, difficulties. And I love that because it tells me that God didn't stay distant, that God didn't stay detached, that God didn't stay isolated up away from us. But God, the Creator, came down to us. Why? Because God, through Jesus, is full of mercy. And he has extended that mercy to us. Amen? Amen. And amen. Amen. Okay? So here's the deal. And I want us to get this. Since God has been merciful to us, now we as his children are to do what? We are to now extend that mercy that we have received. We are now to be people who dispense that mercy to other people. As it says in Scripture, freely we have received, freely we are to give. Meaning I have received this fullness of mercy. Now I'm supposed to be a person who's now made in the image, the child of God. Now I'm going to emanate. I'm going to be just like my Father, and I'm going to share mercy with other people. And that's how God wants you and I to live. That's what life in the kingdom looks like. Does the world look like that? Well, sometime, but most of the time, no. But I want to let you know that in the life of the believer, it needs to look different. In the life of Journey Church, it needs to look different. And we need to be people who are truly merciful to one another. And I want to let you know, if we will extend mercy to other people, we're going to have healthy relationships. We're not throwing people away. We are having healthy relationships. Why? Because we're going to be merciful. We're going to live like Jesus called us to live. And I want to plead with each and every one of us today, will we take the work necessary to be merciful to other people? Will we listen? Will we get into their skin? Will we begin to say, hey, I'm trying to see what you see. I'm trying to feel what you feel. I'm trying to think how you think. Help me. I want this relationship not to be broken. I want this relationship to be healed. I want this relationship to be restored. I want this relationship actually to be better than it ever has been in before, because we're willing to invest in the time necessary, because we are kingdom people, and kingdom people, they don't give up on each other. Thank you, Heather. Kingdom people do not give up on each other. Amen? Kingdom marriages, we don't give up on each other. Kingdom families, we don't give up on each other. Kingdom families, kingdom friends, we don't give up on each other. But in this kingdom, we will get into that person's skin. We'll make the investment. And I want to let you know, if you will, yes, it's going to be hard, but you're going to see an amazing reward. You're going to be able to have a healthy relationship. So the first reason why we want to be merciful, because God has been merciful to you guys. Meaning we didn't get what we deserved from God, but we got mercy instead of wrath. We got his love and his forgiveness through Jesus. And the second reason why we need to forgive is because when we're merciful, there's a promise. And remember the promise, it goes right back to the verse. And that is, God blesses those who are merciful. Look at the second part, for they will be shown mercy. Don't raise your hands this morning, but I just need to ask you a question. How many of you want to receive mercy? I do. When I'm not acting and behaving, or maybe I've done something to offend you, I don't want you to just spit me out. I would love for you to come along and show me mercy. But Jesus says, hey, if you're merciful, you're going to receive mercy in return. And one commentator said this. He said, the promise for people who are merciful is that they're going to receive bushels. I love that, bushels of mercy in return. Because, gang, there's a principle that you need to get into your heart and head. There's a principle. I don't even care if you don't even want to have a relationship with God, but you're still here today. There's still a principle that applies to all people. And that principle is found in Galatians 6:7. And that principle is this: you will always, I want to say that word one more time, you will always, not sometime, not 80% of the time, not 95% of the time, but you will always harvest what you plant. That's what they call an immutable law. You will always harvest what you plant. And I want to encourage you today, Jesus is pleading with us, and that is that we would plant mercy, that we would plant mercy upon other people, that we would plant mercy in our marriages, with our kids, with our friends, with our church, our co-workers, that we will be people that will sow seeds of mercy, because you're going to harvest what you plant. And I know everyone in here wants to have a harvest of mercy. So that's why. Now, how? How is a big question that we're going to end with here this morning. How? Okay? How can we pull this off? How can we pull this off? I mean, how can we do what we're called to do? Because if I look at this commandment, I'm thinking, God, this is not me. This is not me. This is not natural. It's supernatural. So how are we going to pull this off? This is how we're going to pull it off, Christ followers. Listen, Paul says in Philippians 4:13, he says, for I can do everything. I can do everything. We've taken that verse out of context to mean a lot of things, like, hey, I can hit a 310-yard drive. I can hit the 20-foot eagle putt. And people quote this all the time. I can make the game-winning shot. But the context here is Paul saying, I can do everything that God's called me to do. And I want to let you know, God's calling us to be people of mercy. He is calling you and I to live different than the world and to be merciful. So I can do everything through Christ. Meaning I can't do it because of who I am, but I'm going to need some supernatural help. I'm going to have to, as Jesus says in John 15, I'm going to have to abide. I'm going to have to stay close. He says, I can do everything through Christ who gives me the strength. I want to let you know, I cannot pull this off in my own ability. You can't pull it off in your own ability. The only way you're going to be able to show mercy to other people is because we have this strong connection with Jesus. And in this strong connection with Jesus, he's going to give you the strength. He's going to give you the wisdom. He's going to give you the discernment. He's going to give you whatever you need to be a merciful person. So as we close this morning, I have a question for you. And Anna, can you begin to play for us this morning? Anytime Anna's here, I love just to listen to her violin playing. She's so wonderful. So I want to ask you a question. So can we just all bow our heads this morning? As we close today, I want to ask you this question. Who? Who is one person that you can extend mercy to this week? Who is one person? Maybe as I was speaking, that there was a face, there was a name, there was a relationship, and you were thinking about that person the whole morning, and you were thinking, wow, that's the person. Who is it that you need to extend mercy towards? Is it a spouse? Is it a parent? Maybe you need to sit down with your parents, and maybe there's something that was hurtful in the past, and you need to get into their skin and allow them to get into your skin. Is it one of your children that you need to show mercy to? Maybe it's a friend, it's a coworker. I want to encourage us today, who is one person that we need to make this word alive this week and not be a forgetful hearer, but we need to be a doer of the word? Who is one person that we need to begin to say, God, help me, Jesus, help me to get into their skin? And Lord, help me to take the time to listen, not to fix, but to listen, not to preach, but to listen, and try to begin to feel what they feel. I think there's a parent right here. I just feel in my heart there's a parent right now that needs to do this with one of your children. That you're like, you're frustrated because of what they're doing, and you don't agree with it, you don't see it. And maybe you just need to take the time to say, hey, let's talk, let's invest. So let's just take this next like 1 minute as Anna plays, and let's begin to pray. Let's begin to ask, God, who is that person? And now, Lord, I pray that you would help me. Let's take 1 minute. want to read you a verse as we close today. James chapter 1. James, the half-brother of Jesus, says, he gives this warning. He says, but don't just listen to the word of God. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. For if you listen to the word and you don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, you walk away and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, that's the word of God. And if you do what it says and you don't forget what you heard, here's the promise, then God will bless you for doing it. So it's not just enough for us to come to church and hear a sermon, but more importantly, it's important for us to take what we've heard and now to apply it to our lives, apply it to our relationships. And as we apply this to our relationship, the promise of God is that he will bless us for being a doer of his word. So I just want to encourage you today, if God's speaking to your heart about extending mercy to a friend, a family member, whatever the situation, I want to encourage you, make the effort, invest the hard work, put forth the time. For some reason today, I just feel like God kept laying on my heart, encourage the people, when you're showing mercy, don't try to fix that person like you know all the answers. Don't preach to that person, but really be a listener. Doesn't mean you're going to agree with everything they said, but you're going to be a listener. And you're going to pray for God's supernatural activity to see what they, that you can begin to see and feel what they feel. Because I want to let you know that in God's kingdom, there's a high priority in healthy relationships. Because people who have healthy relationships are blessed people. They're happy people. And I would go as far as saying they're successful people. So Lord, I pray for all of us. I pray for all of us that you would help all of us to be more merciful to other people. Lord, we don't want to be a bull in a china closet. That's not your way. We want to be merciful. We don't want to be controlling. We want to be merciful. So Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be more like Jesus, who was rich in mercy. And Lord, I pray you'd help this to become a church where there's no such thing called a cancel culture, but we're here to help people to restore brokenness. And Father, I pray you'd be at work in this church in a deep way, and you'd help us to become more like you. And I thank you for everyone that's here today. Thank you for the investment of their time to come into your house. And Lord, I just thank you for that commitment that they've made to be here this morning. I pray, God, that you would be with them as they go home today. Keep us safe in our travels. Pray, God, that you'd fill our home with your presence, with your spirit. I pray at our homes where we have experienced that fullness of hope, joy, and peace, that would be the culture of our families. And Lord, I pray, God, that we are kingdom people. We want to be established in kingdom culture. So I pray that you'd help us. We are weak. You are strong. We need your help. We're desperate for you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Can we all stand to our feet as we pray this final prayer together? Let's all pray together this prayer the Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever.